Ryan Noonan is playing on the radio, baby.
You know, I have found in my travels that all the best things in life happen after 2 a.m. Because after 2 a.m. is when things get, audience, say it with me, legendary.
Good morning, Americans. It's Friday.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Oh. Oh. Yeah, it's the big show. Come on, crank it up and turn on all the lights, y'all. Oh. Well, get ready for something that you'll never know. You won't see it coming, but I promise you'll know. The big show.
Well, good morning. Welcome. Glad you're with me. Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN Friday morning. Oh, my gosh. Or do you still say Thursday night? Yes, the debate continues. But either way, we're here until 5 a.m. Then Steve Grzanich will be here with the opening bell. Big show planned. Yes, we are reopening the overnight arcade. We will have Fly Jams Friday after 4 o'clock, so a lot to get to. It's always more fun when you get involved. 312-981-7200. That's the number. When you call in, you'll be talking to Dan Long, the executive producer of the big broadcast. If you're nice to him, you get to me. That's how it works. You can also keep in touch via social media. It's Facebook and Twitter. It's Brian Noonan Show on both of those platforms, as the kids like to call them. Social media platforms. That's what we use here. And then you can text. You know, it's the same number. I don't know how that works. It's magic, some sort of dark arts. But either way, 312-981-7200. All right, we've got a lot to get to. Vic is here covering the news all night. Roger is in for Esmeralda. This is a weird sort of reunion of sorts. Even though we work together on Sundays, now we're back in the overnights. So I'm wondering if there will be repeats of back when you and I used to work overnights together where you would just be sound asleep in the middle of the broadcast. Is there any chance of that? Vic, you're laughing, but this was back.
Is that a real thing?
Yes, when we would. And Roger, you will attest. You will say that I'm not exaggerating. When we worked downstairs, when we had the big studio in the back, and the newsroom was right off the studio, so you would look right into the news anchor's face as he was doing it. One night I threw to the news. I was not looking at the newsroom. I was looking at Cody, my producer, and I threw to the news, and there was nothing. And then I looked, and not only was there nothing, there was nobody in the news anchor chair. We panicked a little. By panicked, I went, oh, I wonder where Roger is. So I kept talking, because that's my want. And Cody ran looking, found Roger asleep in the news director's office on the couch. Then Roger came scrambling out and put on his sunglasses and tried to read the news.
I'm guessing they were prescription.
Is that No. They were not the flip-ons.
And he couldn't read, and so we had to take an extra break so Roger could collect himself. Now I have never let him live this down, and I bring it up every once in a while. Not often.
Just enough.
Well, yeah, once every couple of years I'll bring it back up just to, you know, when I feel that he's getting a little too full of himself.
That's the best one I've heard about him so far.
Yeah, Brian. That was the best.
And I had just laid down to rest my eyes. I thought I would have just a few moments.
Because Roger, I love that Roger is completely, he doesn't really pay attention to the clock. Now, as a newsman, you know you have news at the top and bottom of the hour. So if you lay down to rest your eyes at, say, 3:58, there's a good chance.
I did it a lot earlier than that.
There's a good chance you got to get to the news in 2 minutes. But so I'm hoping now that you will stay awake. I'm going to have Dan go in every once in a while and just poke at you with a stick.
Please
to make
do.
Sure that you're not.
Well, now I'll
the
know
street.
Why, and I won't hit
but
Dan again, back.
Yes, in my defense, it was Friday night into Saturday.
Sure, it was.
And I had been working all week long, teaching.
No, of course. There's always reasons and excuses.
My drive was from 87th Street to the north side. And I would get maybe a couple hours sleep and then come in here and work a much longer shift than I do now. And so you were the beneficiary of my...
Cue the violin music, Dan.
Yeah, I wish we had some because this is, oh my goodness, the saddest story
You didn't
I've
hear
ever
the
heard.
One time when Aubrey, the voice of God came through the intercom one night. And I had my head down at the news booth.
You were always sleeping.
And he said, "Roger." I thought it was the voice of God. And I slowly picked my head up and realized that it was time for the news. And I think we were in a pre-tape.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
It was rough. All right. Well, I'm much better now.
Well, I hope so. I hope
so. I got enough sleep.
I'm just checking because I... Well, sure, now you're not teaching
anymore.
So that's good. It's always fun to reminisce.
Yes.
Back to the old days when we never knew, Vic, if Roger was going to be there or not. It was always a crapshoot. We were rolling the dice every time. Sometimes I would make a game out of it myself, and I wouldn't look at the newsroom, I would just hope that he was there.
I was going to say you should have added the sound of an alarm clock every top and bottom of the hour going forward.
That would've worked.
No, he would have just been reaching for the snooze. I gotta get some sleep. I'm very sleepy. Very sleepy, sleepy. All right, Lizzo, let's do this.
Let's take a break.
Let Roger off the hook for a minute, and then come back and talk about what could be the dumbest lawsuit in the history of dumb lawsuits. We'll get to all that. And then the arcade after 2:30. Oh, man, it's all coming back here on WGN. Are we going alphabetically again tonight, Dan?
I did start with B's. This is B's. Bob Mould. So.
Bob, all right. Very nice. Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio. Congratulations again to Nick and the rest of the class, the 2017 class that was inducted onto the Walk of Fame yesterday morning or earlier this morning, whatever day it is, I don't know, but they were. It was Thursday that the class went in, so congratulations to Nick. He is celebrating, and he will be back on Tuesday after the holiday. All right. We all hear all the time about frivolous lawsuits. This could take the cake. Remember, there was the woman who, she sued because the coffee was too hot. There's always these. Well, a woman is suing Jelly Belly because she says she didn't know the jelly beans contained sugar. That's right. California woman suing Jelly Belly. The plaintiff first filed the case against the Fairfield-based company in February, according to Legal Newsline. She alleges that Jelly Belly encouraged her to buy its sports beans by falsely advertising them as an energy source for athletes. Boy, if she believed that, I have so many dubious investments for this woman. Oh, yeah, eat jelly beans. They're going to help you. They're an energy source. She claims the company tricked her into thinking the tiny beans contained juice rather than sugar. Oh, and that they'd grow a beanstalk and she could climb up and get the giant's treasure. They listed evaporated cane juice as an ingredient. She alleges that the company highlights that its carbohydrate, electrolyte, and vitamin content to suggest the product has quote-unquote healthy characteristics. Oh, boy. Nutritional information on the sports bean packaging indicates a single serving size contains 17 grams of sugar. Right, it's right there on the package. The same one she claims tricked her. How dumb do you have to be to get tricked by a package of jelly beans? Jelly Belly called the lawsuit nonsense, which is a nice term. I would have called it so much more if I were not on the radio. They called it nonsense in a motion submitted to the court last month. No reasonable consumer could have been deceived by sports beans labeling. She could not have seen evaporated cane juice without also seeing the product's sugar content on its nutritional facts panel. That's like eating a million Big Macs and then suing McDonald's because you got fat. I didn't know Big Macs were going to make me fat. I only ate four a day. Nowhere did it say, hey, if you eat four Big Macs a day, you're going to get fat. Unbelievable. But and yet, these are the kind of things that clog up the court. Well, all right, we have breaking news, Roger. I like to break news.
Sure.
This is breaking news. Which city is the drunkest in America?
Ooh,
yeah.
Wow.
Breaking news.
I would
say. The hard-hitting stories.
Madison, Wisconsin?
Well, you would be close.
Okay.
It is not Madison, Wisconsin, but it is a city in Wisconsin.
Ooh.
Green Bay. Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Hello, Packer fans.
Yeah, everybody's hammered up there. They, according to 24/7 Wall Street, which is a Delaware-based financial news and opinion corporation, Green Bay is the drunkest city in America. The excessive drinking rate among adults in Green Bay is the highest of any metro area in the country. Well, there's something to be proud of. That study just came out. The group analyzed self-reported data from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. They jumped. Green Bay must be proud of themselves. They jumped two spots.
Wow. Who did they beat?
Well, last year they were third. So now they are number one. They surpassed last year's number one, Appleton, Wisconsin, which fell to third place. Okay. Right now, the people in Apple City weeping, probably into their beer, thinking if we had just drank a little more a few months ago, we could have been number one.
Well, if you'd stop having tears in your glass instead of beer, you'd be okay.
Green Bay has 138 bars, and more than 26% of adult residents regularly drink to excess or binge drink.
Wow.
The national average is 18%. So way to get it done, Green Bay.
It's all those football celebrations.
There's nothing else up there. I'm not going to lie to you. I've spent a lot of time in Green Bay over the years. And if it wasn't for the Packers, I could see why people would drink up there.
And it's cold for a long time up there,
and
right?
They got the team, and that's it. Nice garlic stuffed tenderloin at the Backgammon Inn.
Ooh.
That's a nice little Green Bay treat, garlic stuffed beef tenderloin. That's delicious, sure. The findings show a trend in Wisconsin overall. So good for you, people in Wisconsin. The second year, the state has beat out all other states for the most spots on the drunkest cities list. Of the 20 drunkest cities in the country, 10 are in Wisconsin.
Woof.
Man, oh man, you're getting it done.
Yeah.
Green Bay is number one, Eau Claire number two, Appleton number three, Madison number four, Oshkosh number six, Wausau number nine, La Crosse number 10, Fond du Lac number 12, Sheboygan number 15, and Milwaukee, the slackers, Milwaukee only coming in at 20th.
And Milwaukee's got all the breweries up there, yeah.
Yeah, these other cities, man. Wow.
Where does Carbondale fall in, do you know?
Not in the top 20.
Wow.
That's all I got here.
Used to be pretty big.
They're just for the school.
Well, yeah.
Study also found cities with heavy drinking tend to have better educated, higher earning, and healthier populations than cities with the lowest excessive drinking rates.
Really?
That part I didn't understand at all. So we're the drunkest city, but we're smarter than everybody else.
Well, they have to be able to afford the beer, so they got to have really good jobs.
Yeah, you think?
And you got to be smart to have a good job.
Well, come on. let's not get ahead of ourselves. A lot of people with good jobs who are not very smart. There's a lot of idiots running around making good livings. God bless them. It's good that the simpletons get to make some dough. Some fun facts. Nationwide, there are about 1.3 bars for every 10,000 people. In 15 of the 20 heaviest drinking cities, the concentration of bars is at least double to the national ratio, which is good because then you don't have to go very far to get hammered.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, we will tell you what callers will play the overnight arcade. Yes, it is officially an overnight arcade because we are back in the overnights. So we'll do this, and then we'll do that, and then we'll just keep rolling. It's WGN.
Shall we play a game?
It's a new game, only this time the game is real. Can you handle it?
Everybody play the game.
Play.
Time to play the game.
Oh my goodness. Back where it belongs. The theme for the Overnight Arcade, America's favorite overnight radio quiz show. That's right, it is the Overnight Arcade. I am your charming and delightful host, Brian Noonan. With me, as always, Roger Badish, keeping score tonight. Dan is getting the callers. We have prizes, and we are playing American History Trivia because it's Memorial Day weekend, so why not ask some questions about America? It's been a long time since we've done an Overnight Arcade, Roger. Because we're not in the overnights anymore, but we are back, and it's, oh my goodness, it's very much fun. All right, if you didn't get through to play along with us on the air, then I would go into the room in your house, wake somebody up, go out, bang on your neighbor's door, get them up, start playing the game, because during the overnight arcade, at-home wagering, not only encouraged, but expected. Let's meet our players, shall we? First of all, there is Tim. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Brian.
And what do you do for a living, Tim?
I'm an engineer.
An engineer, very nice. What sort of engineer?
Mechanical.
Mechanical engineer, very good. You know a lot about history?
Yeah, a little bit. Not as much as engineering, but yeah.
Well, we're going to find out. It's going to be good because you are playing against Joanne. Hi, Joanne.
Yes.
Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Are you ready to play our game?
Yes.
All right. What do you do for a living, Joanne?
I'm a financial rep.
Financial rep? Are you sure? You sound like you're making this up as you go along.
No.
No, you're sure? Okay. Well, here's what we're doing. We are playing American History Trivia. I have questions. They all have to do with our wonderful country. I'm going to ask you a question. If you get it right, you get a point. If not, your opponent gets a chance to steal. First one to five correct answers, or whoever is leading when time runs out will be our winner. Tim, Joanne, do you understand the rules? Are you ready to play the game?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Let's flip it up, see who goes first. And that is Tim. Tim goes first, and here we go. In 1849, gold was found in what state starting the gold rush?
California.
California. That is correct. Man, we're off to a good start. All right, Tim has won. He is on the board. That's how we play the game. All right, Joanne, we come to you. Are you ready? Joanne, are you ready?
Looks like we lost her.
Ah, then she is not ready. I hope this is not a forfeit. We will see if you can get her back. We'll talk a little bit more to Tim for a second and see what happens.
Sure.
I got to be honest. I think Joanne got a little nervous. She sounded a little nervous, didn't she? You got that first question correct, and that was all she wrote.
Yeah, I have that effect on women.
Well, listen, I understand. You a single guy, Tim?
Married
guy,
no, married.
Single guy, married guy. How long have you been married?
Married. 27 years.
27, good for you. See, so you haven't had that kind of effect. All right, listen. No.
Does Tim want to play against me?
Well, that doesn't seem right. 312-981-7219.
I'm not going to win anything. Yeah, if he beats me, he gets a...
All right. Well, Dan, let's
$25
see.
Gift card to Lou Malnati's 40-plus nice. Chicagoland locations, home of the best deep dish in the city.
That is true.
Order online at loumalnati's.com.
I will do that right now. Maybe this is her. If not, all right. Well, let's. Dan's going to answer the phone. So, Tim, this is very exciting. This is the kind of thing where a lot of people would panic because the host would say, oh, my goodness, what happened? We don't have anybody to play against Tim, and Tim would probably – I should just give you a prize. But I'm not going to do that, Tim, because I have a new contestant to play against.
I think Mike is here to save the day.
What do you think of that? Mike is going to jump on. Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Brian.
Mike, what do you do for a living?
I'm an electrician.
An electrician, very good. Well, you were listening, and now you get to play the game. So you know we're doing American History Trivia, right?
Yes.
All right. Tim had the first question. He got it right. We know a lot about Tim. He's been married 27 years. He's a mechanical engineer. Doesn't know if he knows a lot about history, but he seemed to know the first question. All right, Mike, you're an electrician, and we're ready to go. Are you ready for your have you settled in? Are you ready for your first question?
Yep, let's go.
All right, here we go. During World War I, the U.S. was part of which group? The Central Powers, the Allied Powers, the Alliance for Defeat of Germany, or Wilson's Warriors?
Well, I know we're the Allies.
You going to go with that?
Yeah.
All right. That is correct. Look at that. Roger, we have finally, after 28 minutes, finished round one.
I think that's a new record. At the end of round one, we have a tie score, one each for Tim and Mike.
The game could not be more exciting.
I'm real excited.
I'm on the edge of my seat, mostly because I'm going to jump out a window. That's not true. Tim, we come
back. I'll do that, huh?
No, why would I do that? That'd be silly. We come back to you, Tim. Here we go. In 1846, Sam Bowie, Davy Crockett, and a small group of Americans fought against the Mexican army in what Texas fort?
The Alamo.
You remembered, Tim. That was very good. All right. See what I did there? That was clever. All right, Mike, we're back to you. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
In what city was the Declaration of Independence signed?
Ooh. I don't know. Philadelphia?
Philadelphia.
Awesome!
Yes, Philadelphia. Roger, can you believe what is happening?
My voice is getting caught in my throat here. I'm so excited. I can't take this anymore. I feel the hair standing up on my arms. The score right now is tied still. Tim 2 and Mike 2.
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be unbelievable. We're going to come right down to the wire, I have a feeling. Tim, we're back to you. Tim, tell me, who wrote the Star Spangled Banner? Who wrote the Star Spangled Banner?
Francis Key Scott.
Ooh.
Scott Key.
Oh, so close. Oh, well, wait. Now Mike has a chance to steal. Mike,
yep.
who wrote the Star Spangled Banner?
Oh, that wasn't Stephen Foster.
No.
Steve, I know he had part of the answer. I'm lost.
Oh. And Tim actually said it. Francis Scott Key. Francis Scott Key wrote the Star Spangled Banner.
Thank you. Okay.
That's all right. We stay with Mike. All right. This could be the turning point, Dan, right here. We may have witnessed the turning point in the game. All right, Mike. Who was the 16th president of the United States? Was it Millard Fillmore, James Garfield, Abraham Lincoln, or Harry Truman?
Ooh, 16th.
16th president.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I'll go with Millard Fillmore.
Go with Millard Fillmore. No, that means, Tim, you get a chance to steal. 16th president of the United States, Millard Fillmore, James Garfield, Abraham Lincoln, or Harry Truman.
I believe that was Honest Abe, Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln is correct. And Roger, we end another round.
Yes, we do. At the end of the round, Tim has jumped into the lead 3-2 over Mike.
People are complaining that the questions are too easy. This isn't Scholastic Bowl. It's not Jeopardy. We want people to win. All right, Tim, we stay with you. What famous document begins when in the course of human events? Is it the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, or the Gettysburg Address?
Could you repeat the answer?
The choices are Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, or the Gettysburg Address.
I believe it's going to be the Declaration of Independence.
Declaration of Independence. Dan looks puzzled.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Meg Ryan, very excited about that answer being correct, Tim. Good for you. All right, Mike, we come back to you. Who said, give me liberty or give me death? Was it Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Patrick Henry, or Patrick Swayze?
Oh, Patrick Henry.
Patrick Henry.
Good job. Keep up the good work.
That is correct. Roger, that's the end of another round.
Man, we are just flying through this history. I'm telling you.
Oh.
Tim, though, even though both were successful in the last round, Tim still has a slight edge over Mike, 4-3.
All right. Tim, we come back to you. You have 4. If you get this right, that means you win. If not, Tim will get it, or Mike will get a chance to steal and tie the game. Are you ready, Tim?
Yes, sir.
All right, for the win. What play was Lincoln watching the night he was assassinated? Was it A Midsummer Night Dream, The King's Conspiracy, Our American Cousin, or Beatlemania?
I believe it's Our American Cousin.
Believe it's Our American Cousin for the win. We look at the board.
That is correct.
Is correct. And with that, Roger, make it official.
Well, as we complete the competition, Tim has a total of 5 correct. Mike, unfortunately, falls just a tad short with only 3 correct.
But you know what? Congratulations, Tim. And Mike, you jumped in at the last minute. We were glad you played. You put up a valiant effort, I think. And just because I believe, like youth soccer, everyone should get a trophy. Everybody wins on the Overnight Arcade. So, Tim, we're going to send you a $25 gift certificate to Lou Malnati's Pizza. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. So enjoy your pizza. And, Mike, we're going to give you a $25 Malnati's gift card as well. So everybody gets pizza. I'm like Oprah giving away cars, only on a much smaller level. Everybody.
Hey, thanks.
You're very welcome. Congratulations, Tim. Not only the pizza, but you get bragging rights as well. So take that with you and strut around a little bit tomorrow when you're mechanical engineering. You can tell people, hey, listen, I'm also a history buff. So good for you. Gentlemen,
got that going for me.
You do have that going for you. Gentlemen, thank you for playing the game. I appreciate it very much. Have a wonderful morning. You're welcome.
You too.
All right, let's see. Dan, I got to put everybody on hold, and I'm not sure how we're going to do that. All right. All right, hold on. Something's goofy with the phones. Dan, you can handle putting them on hold. Do we have time? We have time to play a short round. Should we play another short round? Roger, what do you think?
I think it would be an excellent idea.
Is that right? You think it would be an excellent idea?
As one Kodigoff would say, It would be awesome.
Awesome. All right. Let's get some callers. How about another caller three and caller four? Dan, does that sound good to you? Can you put these guys
fine
on?
By me. You have to. It's locked from my end. You have to do it from your end.
What do I have to do? I keep hitting hold and nothing's happening. Maybe I'll press that one. No, because then I lock them. So I don't know what's
I'll
going
come
on.
In there and do it.
Yeah, come in here and do this. Caller three, caller four, 312-981-7200. We'll play another short round with easy questions. Somebody said they got eight correct. Good for you. Maybe you get through. Call in and try to play the game. 312-981-7200, caller three and caller four, and you'll play round number two of the arcade here on WGN.
Game on!
Game on!
Time to play the game!
It's time for round two of the Overnight Arcade on WGN. I am your charming and delightful host, Brian Noonan, in for Nick DiGilio. We're playing American History Trivia here on the Arcade this morning. So let's get right to it because time is the tyrant and meet our players for round number two. First, we say hi to Jerry. Jerry, how are you? Welcome to the game. Oh, boy. Hold on a minute, Jerry. There you are. Hi, Jerry.
I'm still here.
Good for I'm glad. I'm having a little technical problems with the phone. But, Jerry, that's not your concern. That's not why you called. What do you do for a living, Jerry?
Well, I'm retired.
You're retired. What'd you used to do?
I was a male escort.
A male escort, really? So you've been retired for a long time, have you?
Well, it wore me out.
Sure, I can see. You waste away to nothing. Takes a lot of stamina. Poor Roger's holding his head. He can't believe that we have a former male escort playing the game.
I'm jealous.
That's all right. Sure, who isn't jealous? But why would you retire from that? That's a job I think you could do forever. Till the day you die.
Maybe you could do it forever, but
listen, I don't know, Jerry. I mean, I don't want to say I have more stamina, but we'll just leave it at that. Let's see who you're playing against. It's Mark. Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. What do you do for a living, Mark?
I drive a truck.
Drive a truck. Not as glamorous as being a retired male escort, is it, Mark?
No, sir. No, sir.
Nah, that's all right. None of us really, except for Jerry, can do that, Mark. He's one guy, and, obviously he's a little out there. That's okay. But, gentlemen, here we are. We are playing American History Trivia on the Overnight Arcade. We will. I'll ask you a question. You get it right, you get a point. If not, your opponent gets a chance to steal. First, the person who is leading when time runs out will be our winner. Jerry, Mark, do you understand the rules? Are you ready to play the game?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Let's flip it up. We see who wins. Mark will go first. Mark, here we go. The tax imposed on the colonists by Britain that taxed almost everything made of paper was called what? The paper tax, the pulp act, the stamp act, or stupid?
Stamp Act.
The Stamp Act.
That is correct.
That is correct. Very good, Mark. Way to start things off. Here we go. All right, we come to Jerry, who is still resting up from his years as a male escort. Jerry, name the system of roads, swamps, and houses that slaves could use while escaping to the north.
I call it the Underground Railroad.
You call it the Underground Railroad. That's what everybody calls it. That's very good. Roger, we have the end of a round already. Can you believe it?
This is the makings of a real nail biter after...
Is that right?
I think
okay.
So.
All right.
Listen, at the end of one round, Jerry and Mark are tied at one apiece.
Fantastic. All right, let's get back to it. It's a nail biter, Mark. That's what Roger said. During what war, Mark, was the Star-Spangled Banner written? Was it the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, World War I, or the War of 1812? During what war was the Star-Spangled Banner?
World War One.
Oh, that is unfortunate, but not for Jerry, who now has a chance to steal. I'll repeat the question, Jerry, because that's the kind of benevolent host I am. During what war was the Star-Spangled Banner written? Was it the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, World War One, or the War of 1812?
This is a difficult one, but I'll try Revolutionary.
You'll try Revolutionary.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
No. Gentlemen, it was the War of 1812. The War of 1812. All right, but we stay with Jerry, who was unsuccessful in the steal, but could get a correct answer on his own question. Jerry, what European nation originally colonized Florida? Was it England, Spain, France, or Portugal? What European nation originally colonized Florida? Was it England, Spain, France, or Portugal?
I'll guess France.
You'll guess France. I'll guess no. That's all right. Mark, you get a chance to steal. What European nation originally colonized Florida? Was it England, Spain, France, or Portugal?
What did he guess? I missed his guess.
Oh, I can't tell you what he guessed.
I'm going to guess Portugal.
You're going to guess Portugal. No, gentlemen, it is Spain. España. España. Nobody gets a point. That ends a round. We're still tied at one. I'll give you a break on that one, Roger, because I know you were let down because you thought it was a nail-biter, and now things are taking a drastic turn.
We've gone from nail-biting to gut-wrenching.
To agonizing, but that's all right. The boys are going to rally. Mark and Jerry are ready to go. Mark, here is your question. It is a true-false question. True or false?
All right.
The Mason-Dixon line served as a boundary for North and South Carolina. The Mason-Dixon line served as a boundary for North
False.
And South Carolina.
False.
False. That is correct. It served as the border between the boundary between Pennsylvania and Maryland. It also divided the middle colonies from the southern colonies. So Mark gets a point. Very nice. Okay, here we go. Back to Jerry. Jerry, now that you've hydrated after years of losing all your fluids as a male escort, tell me, what is the name of the island near New York where immigrants were processed for entry into the United States?
Oh, God.
What is the name of the island near New York where immigrants were processed for entry into the United States?
Oh, man, I know it, but I can't think of it.
Uh-oh. I'll give you 3 seconds, Jerry.
Three. Cannot come up with it.
Wrong! Ooh, all right, Mark, your chance to steal. What is the name of the island near New York where immigrants were processed for entry into the U.S.?
Is it Ellis Island?
Is it Ellis Island?
Yes!
Yes, it is, and that puts Mark on the board. Roger, that's the end of a round. Mark pulling out to what could only be described as a commanding lead.
I have shivers up and down my spine.
Wow.
Right now, at the end of three rounds, Mark has jumped way ahead with 3 points. Jerry still has one.
All right, we are getting close to time, I fear. Okay, Mark, we stay with you. Here we go. Which of these countries was not one of the Axis powers during World War II? Was not one of the Axis powers during World War II? Germany, Poland, Italy, or Japan?
Italy.
Italy.
No!
That is incorrect. Jerry, your chance to steal. Which one of these countries was not one of the Axis powers during World War II?
Poland.
Poland.
Nice. Nice. Right. Nice.
Jerry is on the board with the steal, and we stay with Jerry. Jerry, true or false, the soldiers of Pickett's Charge were attacking the Union line. The soldiers of Pickett's Charge were attacking the Union line. True or false?
False.
False.
That does not make sense.
Oh, no. That means, Mark, you get the chance to steal. True or false? Should be easy. The soldiers of Pickett's Charge were attacking the Union line.
I'm going to go with true.
Going to go with true.
That nice.
Yes, very, very good. He went with true. Uh-oh, that was our big score. That was
Oh, no.
Yes, the horn means the time is up in the game. And with that, Roger, make it official.
Wow. Well, Mark has double Jerry's score. Mark, the winner, 4 points. To 2 for Jerry. Congratulations to both of you.
Good for Mark for coming. Man, oh man, what a rally. Jerry, well played for a man who has no fluids left in his body after years and years of his chosen field. Mark, congratulations on the big win. Not only do you get bragging rights that you have conquered Jerry in the Overnight Arcade, you are going to get a $25 Lou Malnati's gift card. You can go to loumalnati's.com and order online, or you can go to one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations to enjoy the Chicago's best deep dish pizza. And Jerry, because you're retired, and I know a man who's been an escort for as many years as you were, despite having what I can only assume is millions of dollars put away, you can always use some pizza, so we're going to send you a $25 gift card from Lou Malnati's as well. Gentlemen, enjoy your pizza. Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you, Brian.
Game. You are welcome. Dan, I think I learned how to work the phones. Everybody's on hold. We're all good. Gentlemen, thank you for playing. Enjoy it. Look at that, the overnight arcade, Roger. Can you believe it? Back where it belongs in the overnight hours. It's Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGiulio on 720 WGN. Nick, of course, is off enjoying his induction onto the Walk of Fame, the WGN Walk of Fame. So congratulations to Nick and everybody else who was put on the walk today. Dan, you were at the ceremony. Was it lovely? This was I had to miss this one.
Yeah, no, it was very nice. Yeah. The weather held up.
Yeah,
no rain.
Like
it was
it
nice and
like
mild.
It was good. And I know last year there was a threat of rain as well. The year before it was about 187 degrees.
Yeah, I remember that one.
That was, oh man, that was sweaty. Very sweaty. Well, good. I'm glad. Nick gave a nice speech, I assume. Do they give speeches?
No, they do a little Q&A.
Oh, okay.
They
Q&A.
Well, the
who asks the cues?
The people hosting. So Steve Bertrand and Wendy Snyder.
Okay.
So what they do is they come in and they give a little background,
sure.
Kind of get set it up, and then they play the pre-recorded spots that have been airing on WGN with a lot of the, you know, archival audio and stuff.
I see.
And then they after that they start asking questions. And
so they changed it up a little this year from the past format. That's why I'm confused.
Yeah.
Because that was not the format in the past.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Listen, everybody's got, you gotta evolve or die. That's what they say.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it's evolving.
It was a great ceremony. I listened to most of it on my portable device at home.
Wow, look at you with the apps.
Look
Mr.
at
oh,
me.
Oh, man. Or did you mean a transistor radio, Mr. 1947?
After I changed the batteries.
Sure. You still have the one little ear, one little earpiece that, on the wire. That's
I had to keep
nice.
Moving the antenna back and forth.
Good for you. That's nice. Get it all tuned in on your crystal set. That's fantastic.
And a little cat's whiskers.
Sure,
I had to keep flicking at them to make sure it kept receiving.
Listen, I don't want to hear about your animal cruelty. That's something you keep to yourself. You should be more ashamed of that than
I'm
actually.
So sorry.
Yeah, well, listen, I don't understand. You know, it's Memorial Day weekend, the official kickoff of summer or unofficial kickoff of summer. People will be vacationing. They'll be taking road trips. If people still take road trips, of course they do, because nobody wants to deal with the airlines and their thievery. But if you've been on a road trip, you know, you're driving down the highway and you see signs for various and sundry attractions. Whether it's Gatorland as you go through Florida, or, of course, if you're heading up through the Dakotas, what do you see? Wall Drugs, all the signs for that. Or maybe it's the Corn Palace or the Magic Spot. There's a lot of different ones. Well, some of them are wonderful. Some of them, according to an article in Business Insider, and our own experiences, are a waste of time at best, a ripoff at worst. So I'm wondering if you have fallen prey to some of these. We have the worst tourist traps in each state. Now, I am going to take umbrage, perhaps, with some of these, as you may too. And, we're not going to go through all 50 states, because that would be tedious. And really, I'm not looking to kill time, so we're going to move as quickly as we're going to start right here in Illinois. All right, gentlemen, I'm going to give you a chance to guess what Business Insider called the worst tourist destination in Illinois. And my house is off limits. So
darn.
My house is not the, you cannot guess my house.
Shoot.
So what do you think, Dan?
I'm trying to think like Route 66 type stuff. Is that what we're looking at?
The worst tourist attraction in the state of Illinois.
Is it the world's largest ball of yarn? Does that exist somewhere?
That does exist somewhere, not in Illinois.
Okay.
But that is, that is not correct. The worst tourist trap in Illinois, according to this article. Roger, you want to guess?
I would have to say it's Abraham Lincoln statue where everyone goes up and rubs his nose.
Oh, my goodness, no. That's a piece of historical educational material right there.
Well, I know, but everybody does it.
Okay,
everyone's
well,
got to rub the nose.
Is that a bad tourist trap? No, we're sitting on it, gentlemen. Chicago's Magnificent Mile.
They claim.
Well, that's what they claim.
Okay.
They say you can find this street almost anywhere. We're not sure what's so magnificent about a street that has a few shops and restaurants.
Wow. So,
yeah, wow. Wow is right. It's the gateway to this beautiful city. You're right in the heart of it.
Well, yeah.
All right, Indiana. We'll go next door to our friends in the Hoosier State. According to this list, the worst tourist trap in Indiana, the NCAA Hall of Champions in Indianapolis. It's something I would never visit
anyway.
Is that
basketball or just all NCAA?
Well, it says, let's see, with surprisingly little memorabilia, that makes for a bad museum. I've got a museum. Ooh, what can I see there? Nothing really. I just opened a museum, but I haven't been able to secure any artifacts. That's my stumbling block as curator to this. Well, it's not even really a museum. It's kind of a shed. But come on in. I've called it the Hall of Champions. I believe you'll enjoy it. Surprisingly little memorabilia on display and in dire need of a renovation. You'll be in and out of this museum, which pays homage to student-athletes in 30 minutes or less. Well, at least it's not a time waster. If you want to learn about Hoosier basketball, you're better off heading 50 miles east to the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame in Newcastle, Indiana. Again, is this something that, Dan, if you were road tripping through Indiana, would you make a stop at either one of those destinations?
No, probably not. I've seen plenty of pictures of Larry Bird in my time.
Right. I can watch Hoosiers. That's all really I need to know about Indiana basketball. I don't need to go to the Hall of Champions, allegedly. Do we start our the traffic stuff now? No, 3:45, right? Okay. These are programming notes that we should have taken care of off the air, but suddenly the way
a little behind the scenes?
No, the way he was looking at me, I was like, oh, we could probably do this.
That's just the look on my face, I think.
You got RPF, resting producer face. It's always looks like he's producing something. Let's go to our other neighbor to the west, Iowa. Roger, this is something I think you would stop at, and you would be wasting your time.
Oh, is it the Corn Palace?
No. No, and it's not Dyersville, which is the Field of Dreams, which is a fun little place to stop. No, this is Captain James T. Kirk's future birthplace.
Well, of course I'd stop there.
Right, but they say it's in Riverside, Iowa. Trekkies the world over make the trek to this tiny town in Iowa. It sounds sad. To a private yard behind a small house to look at a gravestone-like plaque commemorating the, quote, future birthplace of Captain James T. Kirk, March 22nd, 2228. It's not true since Star Trek is fiction, but to add insult to injury, it was really just the doing of an intrepid Trekkie mayor who, upon reading Making of Star Trek, saw that Kirk would be born in an unnamed small town in Iowa, so he figured why not Riverside and plopped a plaque in the middle of the town, declared it Kirk's future birthplace, and the rest is history. So there's no official ties to anything, and yet people are traveling from across the globe to look at a plaque in the backyard. I got to come up with a scam like that.
Something
in my backyard.
Will they allow, like, heavy traffic around your place?
I don't know.
But just to come see the plaque?
Just to come see some plaque. But I have to come up with some sort of scam to get people to come and see my plaque.
The future location of Starfleet Academy.
Is that
in San Francisco?
Listen, I don't want Trekkies coming to my
house. Oh, okay.
I don't want any Lord of the Rings people. I don't want any Doctor Who people.
Oh, I know.
Any Trekkies. I don't want any Star Wars geeks.
The new home of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. They could perform there.
Sure.
Because, you know, they don't travel anymore. They've
of course not.
Stopped
they
the circus.
Well, they dissolved the circus.
Yeah, but maybe they could bring some of the acts there.
Maybe I just become a home for wayward trapeze artists.
There you go. Just set it up in the back.
Sure. Just have, like, a tire swing. Myself a monkey and a couple trapeze artists.
Start
by a little circus. All right, we've got some more of these. If you have fallen prey to a horrible tourist trap, feel free to give us a holler. 312-981-7200. We'll get to some more of these and so much more on the other side. It's WGN. We're trying to warn you off of some of, according to Business Insider anyway, the worst tourist traps in each state. Now, I said I would take umbrage with a couple, and I'm going to do this with California. They say that the Hollywood Walk of Fame is the worst tourist trap in the state of California. I would disagree. If you are a movie fan, if you're an old-time Hollywood fan, the Walk of Fame is very cool. much like our Walk of Fame here at WGN, but only, you know, with different people. They claim, Business Insider, the Hollywood Walk of Fame has become one of the biggest hotspots for tourists visiting California. Sadly, the stars that celebrities are so proud of are on a dirty, crowded sidewalk surrounded by tacky street performers and far from anything else worth a visit. That is a lie. I think the hipsters from Business Insider have never been there. Especially if you're walking along the Walk of Fame outside the Chinese Theater. Have you ever been there? You ever gone to Los Angeles?
No. I've been in L.A., but not there, not at Grauman's. Do they still call it Grauman's?
No, it's Man's Chinese Theater.
Man's Chinese Theater. Okay.
But it's unbelievable.
Right.
And you walk along the streets, and yes, it's through Hollywood, and you know, there's goofballs anywhere.
There's businesses there. It's like any other city.
Sure, but you're walking down the street, and all of a sudden you're standing on Charlie Chaplin, or you walk along, and hey, there's Marilyn Monroe. Or it just... It's cool.
Yeah.
You're not paying anything. If you're there anyway, you're in Hollywood, you might as well walk around and see the Walk of Fame. So I'm going to take umbrage with that one. And then I'm going to take umbrage with this one too, from Mississippi. They claim that the birthplace of Elvis in Tupelo is the worst tourist trap. Now, I have been to Tupelo, Mississippi, mm-hmm. and granted, Elvis's birthhouse is just a little shack.
Right.
But if you're a fan of Elvis, you have to see it. If you're,
yeah,
you're not. You know, I'm not going to build a vacation around driving to Tupelo, unless I'm going to be a sharecropper.
You're going to put other stuff around there. You're going to do other stuff as a travel.
You
know,
yeah, you could just drive through Tupelo, but so I'm taking umbrage with that. I like taking umbrage.
You do, yeah.
Now, Dan, you had asked about the world's ball of yarn. It's actually a ball of twine, and it is in Kansas. The world's largest ball of twine.
Is that the worst one in Kansas?
Well, how many other tourist attractions are in Kansas? Let's be honest. Other than Leavenworth and Fort Knox, there's really not much in Kansas.
Ooh, Fort Knox.
That'd be a good tourist place.
Yeah, if you get to especially make if you a get a little sample.
Sure, a little something. Take it a chisel, bring yourself out a little something. No, they claim it's just a ball of twine. Now, see, I'll be honest. If I'm driving through Kansas... One, I'm so bored because I'm driving through Kansas. Kansas is the kind of state where you could put the club on your car and just keep driving. It's just flat and straight, and there's nothing. One of my brothers went to Kansas, University of Kansas, for a short time. It was on the rowing team. I'm like, what did you row through? Corn?
Yeah,
What are you doing in Kansas? You're going to row. What are you thinking about? That's probably why he didn't stay at Kansas very long, because he realized if they're goofy enough to have a rowing team in the middle of a cornfield, perhaps this is not the institution I need to be at. And I know, listen, Jayhawks, I'm just teasing. Relax. Don't get all rock chalk up in here and come at me. We're just goofing. We're having some Kansas fun, that's all. I would stop and see the world's largest ball of twine. Cause you gotta figure it's not gonna take very long. So you whip in, you see the ball of twine, you go, ooh, you take a picture, and then you ski daddle. That's all.
Would you bring your pet cat?
No. Unless I had a big, really big cat. Because a regular-sized cat would just be overwhelmed and traumatized by the ball of twine and never want to play again.
Would feel inferior.
It would.
Yeah.
Louisiana, they claim bourbons. Now, I'm going to be in New Orleans on Tuesday. I'm going down to New Orleans because I can never get enough New Orleans. Because I need fried oyster po' boys and hurricanes a stat, and I can't get them up here, so I have to head down. They claim Bourbon Street is the worst tourist trap. Now, I'm going to...
Umbrage again?
No, not completely. Okay. I'm going to say yes. If you're going to New Orleans, there's a lot to see. But if you've never been to New Orleans, you have to go to Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
Is it cheesy and, you know...
Touristy?
Yes, of course. But other than that, that's fine. What was it? There were a couple others here that I wanted to get to. This I would never go see in Missouri, the Nuclear Waste Adventure Trail and Museum. Did you ever go there?
Glow in the dark after you're done there?
But I hear that title, Nuclear Waste. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to pass. I'll go see the ball. I will go up into Kansas to see the ball of twine just to avoid the Nuclear Waste Adventure Trail and Museum, which is a giant pile of rocks, essentially a mound of nuclear waste. It's 1.5 million cubic yards of hazardous waste entombed to create a small mountain that marks the spot that was home to the country's largest explosives factory turned uranium ore processing plant in 1966. Kids, get in the station wagon. Where are we going, Dad? Six Flags? Nope. Better. I am going to show you a giant mound of nuclear waste.
Sounds like it should be behind the Springfield Tire Fire.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it should be. If you take your family there, you are the worst parent in the history of parenting. Even if you just, even if you consider it on your way to somewhere else. No, you cannot.
It was from 66. It hasn't even reached its half-life yet.
No. It's been left abandoned for over two decades. The U.S. Department of Energy decided to cover it with rocks. Now it features a museum and covered up TNT, asbestos, mercury, radium, and radioactive uranium. Man, oh man.
Hey, Daddy, what's the stuff oozing out from the rocks?
Hey, go ahead and touch it. Let's see what happens.
I'm trying to take some home. It'll be fun, fun, fun. Well, listen, enjoy your vacation, folks. And those are just some of the places you may want to avoid. We'll do more after this. I'm coming. Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio, 720 WGN. Fly Jam Friday coming up after 4 o'clock. Yeah, that's right. It's Friday on the Nick DiGilio Show, so we'll do a few fly jams to get things rolling for your weekend. We were talking about, before the news, the worst tourist spots in every state, according to this Business Insider piece. Brian wants to jump in on a wonderful tourist attraction, according to him. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Mr. Noonan.
Yes,
I'm going to call you Mr. Noonan, and I'll be Kinsey because we're both Bryants, okay?
There you go. Fantastic.
All right.
So what do you got?
Hey, you know what? I was in this crazy place one time down, I think, in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And it was a place called Sweetwater, Tennessee. And it had, like, the... It supposedly is the world's largest lake.
An underground lake?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I freaked out when I heard about it, you know. And I went down there, and I mean, I was slipping and sliding and all that. It was, wow, man. it was daring. I mean, you know, because you got anthracite hanging from the top of the wall.
Yeah.
And everything. And stuff like that, right?
That sounds pretty cool. Did they charge you to go in?
Oh, man. It was cool. Yeah, you get cool when you go down there. It was 90 degrees out in the air, okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, you go down there and you twist around this thing. I think it was down by Chattanooga.
All right.
If I'm not mistaken. There's Sweetwater.
Dan, look that up for me. Sweetwater, in case we want to go. Brian,
yeah,
and I are
yeah,
going to
yeah.
go back
I mean,
and visit.
And it is great to see because, cool. You know, you get down there and they got these pontoon boats and you get on them, man.
Underground? They got pontoon boats underground?
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, and then you see the fish jumping out of the water and everything and they take you around this lake.
Brian, I got to ask you, are you underneath. Sure you were at a lake and you weren't just hallucinating somewhere? Because this sounds...
I wish I was.
It sounds pretty cool.
If that's drugs, that's what I like.
All right. Brian, thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. That sounds all right. Underground and underground lake. I would look it up, but I have no internet all of a sudden. And my entire internet has fallen ill. Have you ever been to Wall Drugs, Roger?
No,
Wall
I have
Drug
not.
In South Dakota?
No,
that's a big,
I have not.
That's a big tourist trap, they say is the worst. I had to stop. The one time I drove through the Badlands, I had to stop only because I had heard about Wall Drug for years and years and years. And I saw, you know, the thousands of billboards all the way up through Minnesota and the Dakotas talking about Wall Drugs. And it's just basically a gigantic gift store.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
I've seen a lot of cars with bumper stickers.
Sure.
The Wall Drugs bumper sticker.
They used to, when you stopped, they came around and slapped those on your car, whether you wanted it or not. Like, just like the Dells used to do. Remember, you'd see everybody with a Dells
Wisconsin
bumper
Dells,
sticker.
Yeah, sure.
Or a Tommy Bartlett Water Show bumper sticker. I've never been a bumper sticker guy. I always thought they kind of...
I would collect them, but not put them on the cars.
No, I never understood. Sometimes you get behind a car, and they have a million stickers on them, and I'm thinking... What message are you trying to send? Every message? Because it gets lost in the shuffle.
And I'm sure it depletes the value of the car, too, if you try to trade it in.
Well, you kind of scrape them off, you sandblast it. I've never, have you ever heard of that underground lake?
No, I have not. I mean, there are a lot of caverns
Yeah, those are all a hustle, too.
Yeah.
Those are just a big hole. Somebody got a big hole, and you're like, oh, I'm going to go peek down into it. Yeah. Yes, Dan?
Here it is. The Lost Sea is America's largest underground lake. The temperature remains a pleasant, of course it stops loading when I'm reading it, 58 degrees year-round, while wide-sloping walkways take you on an adventure to the many interesting rooms.
Ooh.
Some of which are among the widest, highest, and largest rooms of any caverns in the southeast.
Is that right? And is it near Chattanooga, as Brian
It's in Sweetwater, Tennessee, Sweet just like you said.
Tennessee.
I don't know geographically where that is, but...
All right. Well, listen, that sounds interesting. I like wide walkways and caverns. Why not? I'm also going to take umbrage. They just, two quick things. They say Graceland is the worst tourist trap. That is not correct at all. These guys have some sort of grudge against Elvis. They added the Alamo. You ever been to the Alamo?
No.
I've seen
the movie dozens of times.
Well, sure. In my old life, when I traveled all the time, I had the privilege of being in San Antonio. I don't know why I said privilege. I was there working. But I went to the Alamo, and it's not awe-inspiring. It's very underwhelming, quite frankly. It's very tiny. You walk in, you're like, oh, it's the Alamo. And it looks like, you know, it looks like you would expect, only much smaller. And then you're in and out in like a minute and a half. There's nothing really to see
in
the Alamo.
Really?
Yeah, it's not. And it's right in the middle of downtown San Antonio. So it's kind of like, oh, okay.
It like suddenly appears out of nowhere as you're walking through downtown.
Yeah, you're like, oh, look, here's a park and what's that little building? Oh, that's the Alamo? That's what they were defending?
Yeah.
I would have let it go.
Well, that's all that's left after they defended it, probably. It was much bigger, I bet you.
I doubt it.
By the way, Sweetwater is northeast of Chattanooga.
Northeast?
Yes.
As the crow flies, how long would it take me to get there?
Probably a lot longer than you would want to.
Probably.
Yeah.
Unless I were going down and making a road trip out of that, go to see the Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Yeah.
And then I go up to Sweetwater for the largest underground lake.
Yeah. It's 5,874 people live there.
Is that right?
Elevation 912 feet.
The things you learn on WGN. And people say sometimes that my show is just a vast wasteland of useless things. But now we've learned about Sweetwater, and the lines are lighting up. I hope it's all the residents of Sweetwater calling in. Sweetwater, Tennessee.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah, Tennessee. Kentucky. What did he say?
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Sweetwater, Tennessee. Zip code 37874.
I'm not sending them letters.
Right now it's 52 degrees out there.
All right, enough. We are not, unless you're angling for a job in Sweetwater at their 5,000-watt radio station.
No.
That might
no.
be the place for no. you. End up down in Tennessee. Nothing wrong with that. Go to Nashville, visit Spike.
Shoot
over
right.
to Chattanooga. Maybe go to Knoxville. There's a lot of fine towns in Tennessee. Sure there are. You know what else is good? We got the first all-marshmallow cafe is coming to Rogers Park. I don't understand business. I don't understand things at all. I have nothing against marshmallows. They're not my favorite thing. But I can't. I would find it hard to go into a bank and say, listen, I need a loan. Oh, I'm opening a business. Is that so? What are you going to have? We're going to have an all-marshmallow cafe. Now, this may be a wonderful thing, and I don't mean, you know, I wish the owners of this much success. I just don't understand it. Lindsay Shanks is one of the owners. It's going to be called XO Marshmallow. She describes her long-lived love of the sugary treats. She and her partner, Kat Connor, are about to open their new business, and Rogers Park is about to get a whole lot sweeter, according to this in Chicagoist. They're supposed to open the first week of June. That's coming up next week. This is going to be exciting. XO Marshmallow, located at Sheridan and Lunt.
Well, that's a stone's throw from me.
Oh, look at you. That's just a diabetes waiting to happen. You
know, since I'm on a diet, though, I probably won't go there.
No, you have to go. You have to go and tell us how
it is. Just for the experience?
Well, sure, go once.
Yeah, all right.
Go once and have something.
All right.
Hold on. We've got...
Uh-oh.
We got to circle back, because now...
Now, did I misinform?
No.
Okay.
But Patrick has been to the underground lake, and he claims to have a better description than our previous caller, Brian. Brian sounded like he was on
spot. He was, you know, he was there. He was kind of close.
Yeah.
The ambient temperature above, that's what we call it. It's an ambient temperature. It's 90 degrees. And then you go down below into a huge cavern.
Right.
That was found by a 12-year-old that nobody believed the kids for 3 years that he found this lake.
Really?
If you go there, oh my God, yeah. They had like a whole story about it when you go there. It actually was a Indian cave. The Indians had found it years before, and nobody knew about this place. We killed the Indians, and they didn't tell anybody about it. So 50 whatever years later, Johnny's on the spot and went out walking, and he found a hole, and he came in there and found this huge place. The rough spot is, or you know, fill it up. Kid found it at 12 years old. Nobody believed him for 3 years. Finally, they found it. Somebody believed him.
Wow.
Went in there, found it, and it is huge. It's huge caverns. You can stay overnight.
Down in there?
For. Yes. The guy that was in there said that the Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, whatever, like to, you know, they have an overnight thing. They do an overnight excursion where they, you know,
so
go through
camp
the caverns
and stuff
at night with the lights out. Again, they have it lit up, and at night they can turn it off, and then you just – and so, again, it is super cool, and they do have the boats, like the guy said. They fill the lake with fish, and it's not a lake. It's a huge pond.
Okay, but it's underground in these giant caverns.
It's underground, and it's super clear, and it's super cool. You know, I mean, yeah.
Now, how did you hear about this, Patrick? How'd you end up?
I did not. We went on a family trip to the Smoky Mountains.
Okay.
And on the way back, the wife said, "Hey, we're stopping here," and I said, "Okay." You know.
Okay.
Right.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. All right.
You know what am I? Am I are you? No.
No. Okay, stop at the big underground lake.
No, she didn't tell me what it was. It's promoted as a prehistoric place or something goofy. All and, right. You know, it was weird. The way she sold it to me was not what I've been in caves before. My mom and dad had property in southern Indiana, and we went to,
I'm still here.
What happened there? That was weird.
We're having issues with everything tonight.
I was going to say, I was talking to
I'm trying to keep this show kind of on track somehow, but I'm just going to walk out probably.
That's not going to happen. All right, well, Linda is. Linda was being screened by Dan. Now she's on the air. Hi, Linda. What's going on?
Hi. I happened to put the radio on and heard you talking about Sweetwater.
Yes.
And years ago, I took the kids up to Chattanooga, Tennessee, but a couple of years ago, my girlfriend and I took a road trip. We're seniors, and we went all through there. We stopped in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we were only going to spend about 4 hours. We ended up spending the whole day and stayed overnight and a couple of hours during the next day. You go there to Lookout Mountain.
Oh, yeah, Lookout Mountain's nice.
Ruby Falls, and the kids love walking through there and then seeing the where they play God Bless America and the colors and that and the underground waterfall.
Huh.
It's really nice. And the different from the cave and that they have where it all stalagmites and stuff dripped. And it actually looks like statues the way it dripped as you walk through.
Now, this sounds like something I'd be interested in. I'd like to go see this now. Roger, maybe we load up an RV. All of us go down.
I think so. We do a remote from there.
That would be
fantastic.
From
inside with the built-in echo.
Listen, if we can't even get the phones to work here, how are we going to broadcast from a cave?
You think that's the gremlins.
That would be unbelievable. Linda, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Oh, but also they have there is Lookout Mountain.
Right.
And you see five different states from that mountain.
I've been on Lookout Mountain. Lookout Mountain is very cool, but I didn't know about this Sweetwater deal.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, Ruby Falls, and then the Cherokee Trail of Tears, they have that all mapped out for you now that you can go through, and they have a new bridge.
All right. Well, we're going to have to check it all out. All right. As always, things take off. We've learned about Sweetwater, Tennessee, and the Underground Lake, and then we were talking about disappointing tourist attractions. Mike wants to correct me about something. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Mike, Brian, you missed the boat when you went and visited the Alamo.
Yeah?
See, you should have gone, you went to the wrong place. You should have visited the fake Alamo.
Oh, where is the fake Alamo?
The fake Alamo, I don't know, it's like 60 miles away from San Antonio.
Okay.
John Wayne, partner, when he directed the movie in 1960, he had a complete replica of the whole, they call it Alamo Village. It's a complete replica of the whole scene of the Alamo and the mission and the church and the town. He had it built out in the middle of nowhere on some guy's farm, and that's where they filmed the movie.
Oh, so I made the mistake of going to the real Alamo.
Exactly. You should have gone to the fake one. Shame on you.
Well, Mike, thank you. Next time I'm in San Antonio, I'll know.
I think they filmed Lonesome Dove there, too. So.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks very much. Who knew that there was not only the real Alamo, but the fake? Now people are texting me pictures of this place in Sweetwater. It's called the Lost Sea Adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we should call the mayor of Sweetwater. Yeah, Doyle Lowe,
you think he's up at this hour?
I don't think so.
Sure, probably.
No.
I'm sure he's down at the diner. There's probably one diner in town.
No, there's a couple of neat little
Sweetwater
places
diner.
There. You know, we could go Bobby Todd's Antiques.
I hate antique stores.
Really?
I hate them with a passion.
Oh, I love them.
You would have to put a gun to my head to get me in an antique store.
Oh, come on. I love looking for old-time radios.
Nope. I have no desire at all. No. Years ago, I had an unfortunate incident.
Uh-oh. Now the truth comes out.
And I will never go into
what happened?
Again. My wife and daughter know this. I will not go anywhere near an antique store. I was dating a girl, and it just so happened, it turns out, later in my life, I would live in this town. I would live in Frankfort.
Oh.
But years and years ago, when I was in college, I was dating this girl, and she wanted to go to Frankfort and go to these antique stores. So I'm walking through this antique store, and they had like a piece of lattice work kind of hanging above an archway, and it was just on little finishing nails. Well, it's in a creaky old building where everything kind of bounces, and mm-hmm. I was much bigger then and caused things to bounce anyway. So I'm walking through, and all of a sudden, this piece of latticework falls on me, hits me behind my head on my shoulders, and shatters. So the people who own the antique store, instead of wondering if I'm okay, they're going to try to make me pay for this piece of wood garbage. And I was like, no. And the police were called. And this was before cell phones or any of that. So I drove. My aunt lived not far from there in Mokena.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove to her house with this girl. We borrowed a camera, went back to the antique store, took some pictures that, you know, then you have to wait to get the film developed.
Oh, of course.
But now the police are called, and it turns into a whole big thing. I will never walk into another antique store. Never.
Wow.
As long as I live. As God is my witness, I will never go antiquing again. It was horrifying.
Now
if we're anywhere where my wife and daughter want see something like a place like that, mm-hmm. I'll wait outside or in a local watering hole. I will not do that. All right, listen, we have Fly Jam Friday coming up on the other side of the news. We still have not finished our discussion of the All Marshmallow Cafe. A lot of serious issues need to be addressed in the final hour of this broadcast. Will we get to them? Probably not. But we'll try. Anyway, this is what I need to do on WGN.
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly Jam's Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
It is Fly Jams Friday, but your man, Nick D, has a couple of nights off. Brian Noonan in for Nick. He'll be back Tuesday morning, enjoying a little Memorial Day weekend off and celebrating his induction onto the WGN Walk of Fame. So congratulations to Nick and everybody else. We're here till 5. We do have some fly jams, and if you have a fly jam that you want to get in, call us, 312-981-7200. Tell Dan he'll play it. Why not? or he'll tell me and we'll play it. I don't know. But as we do every time I'm here for Nick on a Friday morning, I always get to say hello to Fly Jam's Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Brian. Congratulations on your fourth time hosting, more than anyone else than Nick.
Listen,
can
this
a Walk of Fame plaque be far behind?
I can only dream, Bob, from your mouth to God's ears, or management's ears, but management is deaf when it comes to me. So it doesn't matter, but I'm just always excited to host Fly Jam Friday.
Well, you know, when you do, I always try to play something special for you.
Yes, I appreciate
when you host
that.
Because the first time you chastised me for not doing that, so...
Did I?
I did. Yes, you did.
I probably did. That sounds like me, Bob.
A couple of special ones, Ico Ico, and
right.
I played. Forgot that band that we saw together at Comiskey Park, Pablo Cruz.
Pablo Cruz, yes,
yes,
yes, Pablo Cruz. So, what do you have for us this morning?
Well, the last time you were here, someone requested. The Soul Survivors, Expressway to Your Heart.
Yes.
And you mentioned how much you liked them, and you said they were a one-hit wonder, and you were wrong. Here is their follow-up hit called Explosion in Your Soul. See if you think it sounds familiar.
It sounds exactly like Expressway to Your Heart.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds a little bit like exactly, they got caught in the Rush Hour again.
Right, they just took their, I'm going to stand by my one hit, because if you keep redoing the same song just with different words.
But they're not the only ones that did that. That was the formula back then.
No, of course not.
It technically charted, so.
All right,
Hold on.
Yes, okay.
This is a reunion of the old Brian Noonan Saturday morning show. With you and Roger DJ Badass Badish, I asked DJ Longfellow for special permission to play two songs this morning so I can play a special request for him as well.
Fantastic.
Many years ago, on an early Saturday morning segment of Old Band Music History, Roger featured a duo that I had never heard of before named Tom and Jerry.
Okay.
And since I'm very happy to be aware of them, I'm going to repay Roger with a little salute this morning by playing one of his favorite songs. Here's Handbags and Glad Rags by Bill Chase. So what I suggest, you just throw them all away. The handbags and the glad rags that your granddad had to sweat to buy.
I wish you could see him now, Bob. He's rocking out in Traffic Central, playing the air cymbal with his air snare drum.
Excellent.
Look at that, Roger. You get a special shout-out from Fly Jam's Bob.
Dude, thank you. That is a great cut.
I know you like it, and I've got more for you, so
ooh.
Fill in for Esmeralda more often.
I love
listening to your music favorites when you start naming them off. So.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, Bob, as always, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for the special dedications for both Roger and myself. We appreciate it.
Well, I thank you, and I really miss you guys on Friday. It was a great show.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. Take care, Bob. We'll talk to you again. Bob is right, Roger.
Yeah.
We were fantastic.
We had a great time.
Listen. But we have good times on Sunday.
Yo, great times on Sunday.
Listen, let's not.
It's a different vibe,
sure,
you know.
You know what? Because the sun is up, and it's not the overnight. We can, you know, here we know management is not listening. I mean, on Sunday we know they're not listening. Pretty much any time we're out, we know management's not listening. So
we hope they're not listening because
come on, you know, hope in one hand and do what in the other and see what fills up first. I think we're good. What do we got here? Dan rushing in with some missives.
A last second message for you?
Perhaps.
Oh, my.
Shut up and go home. I think that's it. But he didn't have to write that down. He could just say it in my ear. We could do that. Let's do one more. Or do you want to do this now, Dan? What do you want to do? Do you want to do one more song? You want to take this break? We'll do one more. All right. We'll talk to Roosevelt. He's been hanging on. Hi, Roosevelt. Welcome.
Hey, nice to hear you on the air again.
Thank you.
I missed your old show, you know, when you had it at a decent hour.
Well, thank you. What do you got for us today, Roosevelt?
Okay, I got in honor of Memorial Day, I got two of them. This is a song that we used to play in every black light party any kid threw. And the song is He'll Be Back by the Players.
For Nick D, it is Fly Jams Friday. This is one of the songs that was suggested by Roosevelt. He's been hanging on. That's the Players. He'll be back. So that was one. You said you had two for us, Roosevelt, in honor of Memorial Day.
Actually, I have three, but I'll give you the Shirelles, Soldier Boy, and then there's another one by the Monitors, which is called Greetings. This is Uncle Sam. That's a great one, too.
Greetings, this is Uncle Sam. Well, let's hear a little Soldier Boy. That third one?
Yeah, the third one is Greetings, This is Uncle Sam by the Monitors.
All right, give me one sec.
All right, we'll find that. Roosevelt,
got two hands back here.
Yeah, listen, I know you're very busy. Thanks for the call, Roosevelt. We appreciate it. It's Fly Jams Friday. We got Dan jumping around. In the meantime, Roger popped his head in and said, hey, I've got one. What do you got, Roger?
Well, actually, you just did the Shirelles and Soldier Boy, and my wife actually sang with them. At a party. Yes, they were brought in. My boss hired them to come in to perform along with a couple of other acts and Wolfman Jack.
Where was this?
This was when I was working at Gloria Jean's Gourmet Coffees, and it was Gloria's 50th birthday party. So he brought in the Shirelles, the Coasters, and Joey D and the Starlighters, who did Peppermint Twist, and we picked up Wolfman Jack from the airport, drove him back in with the boss's limo, and it was one of the greatest nights we've ever had. And they would call the Shirelles when they got ready to do Soldier Boy. They said, who'd like to come up and sing? And I pushed my wife, because my wife actually is a great singer. Her sister, who is even better, is just retired from teaching music.
Wow.
And so she got up to sing Soldier Boy with the Shirelles at this party. It was really cool. But this one that I wanted to play, Smokey Robinson, this was at some parties late at night. The lights are low.
Wow.
We did a little Smokey Robinson.
You're freaking me out.
So blue as a heart in pain. Nothing so sad as a tear in vain.
Little baby, baby, don't cry. Smokey Robinson.
You really want to go back to doing spinning the platters that matter, don't you?
Yeah, kind of.
Talking up the tunes.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Hitting the post.
Yeah.
I got you. Very nice.
So that's one of my favorite Fly Jams.
I guess. Good for you. All right. I don't want to get you, Dan. You're running.
How's he doing in there?
I don't know. He's jumping around like a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest. What's going on?
Didn't even break a sweat.
No, he's looking fine. So which you have Roosevelt's third song?
Yeah, which would be Greetings, This is Uncle Sam from the Monitors.
Let's hear that.
Greetings.
thought it was Key in the Fly Jam. I need you. I need you. I need you to call with your Fly Jams. That's what Jeff did. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Mr. Brian. How are you today?
I am wonderful. Thank you. What do you got for us?
Well, two things. First of all, what is it? How about the theme from Beretta?
Keep Your Eye on the Sparrow, Sammy Davis Jr.?
Exactly.
Don't do it. Yeah, don't do it, Sammy. Very nice.
On your tourist attractions.
Yes.
In Scottsboro, Alabama, don't go to the unclaimed baggage store.
The unclaimed what store?
The unclaimed baggage store.
Oh, really? Okay. Why not?
Do not go. It's like going to a thrift store.
Oh, it's just they just bring all the baggage there and open it up and.
Yeah, but every year on the news they do this thing about the unclaimed baggage store about, oh, so and so found a diamond ring in a bar of soap.
they just
do that to sucker you to get down there. And now when you go down there, there's like five unclaimed baggage stores, and all they are is like an overpriced thrift store.
All right. Well, that's good advice. Jeff, thank you for the call, and thank you for a little Sammy Davis Jr. I used to love that show, Beretta. Detective with a Bird. Oh, man, I loved it. I loved it. All right. I always try to come up with one Fly Jam for myself on Fly Jams Friday because why not? I get in on the act, too. And I happened, for some reason, I heard this song the other day, and I hadn't heard it in a while. I loved it, and I was singing it in the shower. It's The Spinners. Rubber Band Man.
Once I went to hear them play at a club outside of town. I was so surprised, I was hypnotized by the sound his cats put down. When I saw this short fat guy stretch a band between his toes. Hey, I laughed so hard cause the band got down when it finally reached his toes.
Never heard a sound like the Rubber Band Man.
Spinners had some great songs.
The Spinners were, yeah. The Spinners,
great group.
The Spinners got some stuff going on, yeah. So that was that's fun. Oh, man, all right. Let's see. But for Memorial Day weekend, how about Bette Midler, Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy? We'll see if Dan can find that. We'll come back with that after the news. So much more to get to, but now we must take a little pause for the cause and pay some bills, and then it'll be news time on WGN. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN, in for Nick D. Nick will be back on Tuesday morning. Steve Grzanich coming up at 5 o'clock with the opening bell. Oh, my goodness, it's the weekend. Big plans for Memorial Day, Roger. You got anything going on? He's busy talking. I've seen, and you've seen these people too, a lot of people running around with like Fitbits or fitness trackers on their wrist. Everybody's trying to be fit. You don't wear one, do you, Dan?
No.
No, I got one for my birthday. It was a gift from my wife and daughter. I've not programmed it or put it on yet. And now, although I've, unfortunately I opened it, so now I would have taken it back after seeing this story. Fitness trackers largely inaccurate when it comes to counting calories, according to researchers at Stanford. People are wearing these fitness trackers all the time. I'm not exactly sure what they do. I read the box for the one I got. It's supposed to tell me how much I sleep. It's supposed to tell me how many steps I take.
Yeah, it gives you the whole, like, stats breakdown, doesn't it?
I guess. And I said to my wife, I try not to be, what are you trying to tell me? I need to get in better shape. She goes, no, because, you go to the gym all the time and you work out and you watch what you eat. So I thought maybe this would be something that you would enjoy. And I'm thinking, okay, dear. So I have one. I haven't used it yet. Now I don't know. So everybody's got one. Fitbit is the leading brand. They've sold at least 30 million of these things. The company promises on its website that the devices, quote, track steps, distance, calories burned, floors climbed, active minutes, and hourly activities. There's different ones such as Pulson, Apple Watch, Basis Peak. Oh, you know all these ones. Okay, well, a team of researchers at Stanford, which is not a slouch university. That's not some community college. That's Stanford. Pretty smart people. They recently called foul after testing these trackers. The scientists said in a paper published Wednesday in the Journal of Personalized Medicine that though the devices purport to help users track their calories, the number is often markedly incorrect. Yes. The least accurate, according to this, is Pulson. It was off by an average of 93%. 93%. That's almost completely wrong. That's, you know what? You've eaten 12 calories today. In the meantime, you've eaten 6 million. 6 million calories. I don't even know if that's possible. But that's how wrong this thing is.
You know what it reminds me of? Yeah. Maxwell Smart.
Missed it by that much. No, you don't have arms wide enough to miss it by this much. 93%. The most accurate device, the Fitbit Surge, was off by an average of 27%.
Holy moly.
Which is still a lot. In a statement to NPR, and you know if they're saying things to NPR, it must be very highbrow. Much too highbrow for this program. Pulson said the extremely high level of inaccuracy may, quote, suggest that the authors may not have properly set all the user parameters on the device, end quote. So it's operator error, not device error. I see. The consequences of such large margins of error could, of course, be significant. You think? A 93% error margin, that might be significant? All right, how? Well, according to a professor of cardiovascular medicine at Stanford, people are basing life decisions on the data provided by these devices. Yeah, no duh. Let's take a hypothetical case, shall
okay,
we?
Okay,
all right. In one hypothetical, users check their device at the end of a long day and discover to their delight that they burned 1,000 calories. However, they actually only burned 730 calories. They might have an extra dessert or glass of wine because they think they've met their goal. Over time, that adds up. In this scenario that I've painted for you, and which was painted for me in the Tribune, I'm not going to lie to you, that's 1,890 extra calories each week the users don't know about.
You're not going to lose weight doing
that. Each pound of fat, of course, is composed of 3,500 calories. No, you're never going to lose weight. Then you're going to blame your Fitbit or your Pulson or your whatever. It's just human nature, according to a professor. People are checking these inaccurate counts. They think they've earned a muffin or earned some ice cream, and they're sabotaging their weight loss. Listen, you're not an animal. Don't reward yourself with food.
No.
Just because that's counterintuitive, isn't it?
Yes.
Look, I've lost some weight. I deserve a muffin. No, see, you should be. That's good. Congratulations that you lost some weight. Don't reward yourself by things that are going to then put more weight back on you. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Well,
that's crazy.
Some margin of error, they say, is inevitable. It should be far lower. For the lay user in a non-medical setting, we want to keep the error under 10%. Well, good luck. So I don't know, you know, I have to wear this thing now. I have to program it and stuff because, like I said, I broke the seal on the box.
Yeah.
If I hadn't done that, I would have used this study to tell my wife I was going to take it back. Then use the cash. I don't know.
What's it going to tell you? Already take good care of yourself.
Well, I'm trying. Yeah. I track pretty much what I eat. I know how often, how much I work out. I don't know how many steps I take, but I know people watch that. I don't care.
That's crazy. That's being
too. I don't care how many steps I take.
No.
Some days I take a lot of steps. Other days I don't take many steps.
Yeah.
It all averages out. You know, today I didn't take many steps. Because the dogs wouldn't let me sleep, so I tried to, I know, I have that to look forward to when I go home, too. Because my wife, they launched some project on her at the last minute, and they said, oh, but the good news is it's not due till next Friday. And she said, well, you know, I'm out of the office all next week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Oops.
Well, can you get it done today? So she's been at the office since 2 o'clock this morning.
No.
Yes. She's been listening to the show. Which I guess is good. But, yeah.
So, she'll get a lot done with that.
Well, yeah, she just drive her crazy. So now I get to go home and you have a dog, Roger. Your dog does not respect this schedule. Your dog doesn't care that you worked all night.
He has suddenly, in the last couple of months, gotten really old, and he's not moving well.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And so it's...
How old is he?
Well, when we got him, they said, well, he's anywhere between 5 and 7 years of old. They had no clue.
Yeah,
and we've had him about 6, 7 years now. So,
oh, man. So
he could be 14, 15 years old.
That's old.
Yeah. And he's really not walking well. He's not jumping up on the... Yeah, I know. And so we're supposedly he's going into the vet today, I think. Bridget and David are taking him in this morning.
Oh, good luck.
So.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. So it takes a long time just to go out for number one in the mornings. When I get over there, when I go home today, I'll take him out this morning.
Yeah, it's... I'll go home and I'll have to let the new one out because he sleeps in a crate.
Oh, that's a little puppy there. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's two. He's nuts. Yeah. So I got to feed because he won't go out until he eats. I don't know if it's a
that's
kennel
weird.
Thing. I don't know if it's from being in shelters that long where you never know if you're going to get food. So most dogs, the minute you let them out in the morning, they have to go out and take care of business.
Right.
Not him. He wants to eat first. Then he'll think about going out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Never heard of that
happening.
He's
a weirdo. I don't know. He's just a goof. I don't know what I'm going to do with him. But then, so then I'm trying, he wants to then come up in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about this a little last night with the dog. He wants to come into bed, but he won't just jump in a bed and lay down. Like the old dog, if she gets in a bed, she just lays down, curls up in a ball, and goes to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
He gets up in a bed. He's moving around. He's squeaking his toys. He's digging up the. It's like,
oh yeah, he's awake.
I'm not. Can't he see that I'm sleeping?
No.
Well, he's not blind. He should be able to see that I'm not moving. I'm laying under the covers.
He thinks you're play acting.
I'm not playing possum. I'm trying to sleep. Craziness. So that, we'll do that. But it's funny. Kids and dogs, they don't care about your schedule.
No.
They have no, listen, you worked all night, who cares?
Yeah, boo-hoo. Right.
Boo-hoo, I'm a
dog. You're home now?
Yeah, you're home now. Let's go. Let's get it on. I got things to do. Then the other one, So, my other dog is neurotic, and I'll make this quick. So, if you have pets, they all have their own personality, right? All the dogs, cats, they're all, one way or another, they're all goofy. So, this one, she's weird about eating. Like, she won't eat when another dog's around. She's always been this way. But also, every morning, and this started when one of our older dogs, was overweight, and the vet said, what's a good treat? Give him a rice cake. Because that fills them up, but there's no calories.
Oh, okay.
So that's just been something now every morning. Even the dogs that didn't need to lose weight, because if there was a dog, they all get a rice cake in the morning. Well, the new one, will eat the rice cake right away. The other one always likes to take the rice cake and then go out. Well, yesterday morning I wasn't letting her out because I was trying to get back to bed. So I gave her the rice cake. This goofy dog stood by the door for over a half hour with this rice cake in her mouth. Stood there. Wouldn't eat it. Wouldn't do anything with it. And then after about 35 minutes after I tried to go back to sleep, she started whining. And I looked over. And there she's still standing by the back door holding this rice cake in her mouth. I'm like, you idiot. Eat the damn thing and just go. What are you trying to prove by not eating?
She's whining.
She said, well, let me out. I'm like, just eat it. Just eat it. All right. Real quick, before we get to it, we're gonna do a little around town, tell you what's happening this weekend. All right, we're not going to do that. Not that, but we have to go back to this Marshmallow Cafe. We started talking about this, the XO Marshmallow Cafe. S'mores, hot chocolates. I'm only going back to it because, again, I don't understand the business model. It's like Ned Flanders' left-handed store. You're only catering to you're only selling marshmallow things. But, yes, you can buy marshmallows in flavor like bourbon marshmallows,
ooh,
green tea marshmallows, rose and lavender honey marshmallows. They're going to have s'mores, of course, Rice Krispie treats, whoopie pies, hot chocolate. A s'mores taco made with toasted marshmallows in a waffle cone covered with whatever toppings from the topping bar. A marshmallow cone, an ice cream cone that's filled with decadent homemade marshmallow fluff. So, Roger, when this opens near you, you have to go try it for me.
Okay. All right. I'll go off my diet for you.
Well, for just what? You don't have to go on a binge.
I'll have a little.
You don't have to, lose
Well, you know
your
me.
Mind.
My resistance is low when I get near sugary stuff.
Resistance is futile.
Yeah.
We all know that. Especially when it... See, marshmallows, I never really... you know.
I love marshmallows.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Marshmallow fluff, the whole thing?
Well, not necessarily the fluff because we never had that in the house.
Right.
But we always had marshmallows. And I would toast them on the stove. I would toast them on the stove. I really didn't go for the s'mores. I just would eat the marshmallows because I loved them. I didn't like them when they, you know, sit in a bag for about a month.
Oh, they get very hard.
Kind of hard, yeah. And I like the little marshmallows for the hot chocolate.
I never liked marshmallows in my hot chocolate.
Really? The little ones loved it. Let them melt a little bit. Yeah.
A lot of hog. It's too much. Yeah. Too much. Good hot chocolate doesn't need any accoutrement. You just drink your hot chocolate. Yeah. That's all. Listen, I don't need all this.
How about a little whipped cream? No whipped cream in a hot chocolate?
Nah.
Right. A little bourbon? A little whiskey?
Yeah, sure. A little peppermint schnapps. I'm not an animal. Of course. I'm not, you know. Somebody's upset they think I was dissing community colleges.
No.
I'm not dissing community colleges, but let's be honest. Stanford is not a community college. That's all. That doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with community college. I'm just, you know, I'm setting up the difference. Oh, my goodness. People are very sensitive, especially at this hour of the morning.
It's a holiday weekend. Calm down. Relax.
Listen, I'm calm.
Yeah, I know.
I'm calm. I'm anticipating going home and dealing with the crazy hounds. All right. Since we talked about marshmallows and crazy food, how about this? The Seattle Mariners, you know the Seattle Mariners baseball team?
Yeah,
listen to what they're serving. This year they are serving grasshoppers. Wait. At their concession stand.
That's a candy, isn't
it? Edible, nope. Edible, chili lime seasoned, toasted grasshoppers.
Real grasshopper.
Yep.
What does it taste like?
Well,
chicken.
I don't know. It probably tastes like, ugh. The idea started when the Mariners staff members were doing concessions tasting with Seattle Mexican restaurant Poquitos. And among the offerings they brought out were small bowls of grasshoppers. They're called chapulines on the restaurant's menu, and they're a traditional Mexican snack, often eaten by themselves or in tacos. I've been to a lot of Mexican restaurants. I've never heard of this, but who knows? Chapulines, and I'm probably mispronouncing that. I apologize. We all kind of looked at each other and said, no, that's not going to happen, said the Mariners' director of public information. And after a little while, we started thinking about it. Actually, that might be fun. Let's do it. Well, so they put these on the menu, and people went crazy. People have been selling out. They've been selling out of these grasshoppers. They have a spicy kick, they say. And they're, you know, the legs and antenna are kind of eh. But overall, not bad. There was an estimated to be in the, let's see. The number of grasshoppers sold over the first week was estimated to be in the tens of thousands.
Wow.
There's 20 to 25 in each cup.
Mm.
So they've had to cap the number of cups they sell to 312. That's it.
Jeez. So, you're going to run out of grasshoppers.
Well, I don't know. But there's certain things, and that's $4. You get $4 for a cup of 20 to 25 grasshoppers at the game.
Good protein, probably.
Probably. But nothing... Nothing that I would like to try.
Yeah, no.
From the 847, my dog hates going outside. Absolutely hates it. It takes 25 minutes just to pee.
Yeah.
Well, so a lot of older men have that problem, too. Like 25 minutes.
And they don't go outside.
And I don't go outside. I just wander into the bathroom in the middle of the night and, you know, stand there and pray I don't fall over.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. All right, now can I do this? This is all updated. We have updated weather. This is very exciting. On a few minutes of the big broadcast, Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio. Nick will be back with you on Tuesday. I will talk to you Monday afternoon in for Ro Khan and Anna DeVellantes. So a lot of things. As you can tell, it's the holidays, so people are in, people are taking vacation. A lot of things going on this weekend, and I haven't played this in a long time, but...
Looking for something to do this weekend? We've got you covered. Time to take a look at what's happening. Around town.
Yes.
Oh, nah.
Yes. The production value on this program is unparalleled. Unparalleled, he said facetiously. A lot of things going on this weekend. Big plans, a lot of festivals. Mole de Mayo is happening at Ashland Avenue and 18th Street in Pilsen. It's free. That's the best price for a festival. Happens the 26th to the 28th Friday, starting today. It's 5 to 10, Saturday and Sunday, noon to 10. Decide which local chef best prepares the Mexican staple at the annual Mole Cook-Off. That sounds wonderful, actually. What else is happening? The Belmont Sheffield Music Fest, of course, is happening on the 27th and 28th. That's a free festival as well. Head to the Belmont Red Line stop for this Lakeview Street Party, full of music, food, and drinks. Nowhere better to party than right in the middle of the street. If you can dodge a car, it's like Frogger. I think I've got your... what mic are you on? Not that one. Not that one.
1-2-4-9-8. So there you go.
There we go. Well, should be, anyway. All right, you're on that one. Good. Bike to Drive, you've heard that advertised here. That's Sunday along Lakeshore Drive. It's $17 to $88. For five whole hours, bicyclists will have free rein over Lakeshore Drive. So you can, that every year I want to do that. Every year I say I want to do that, and every year I do not. Memorial Day Parade is the 27th. That is on Saturday. State Street from Lake Street to Van Buren. That, of course, is free. It's the city of Chicago honors fallen heroes and their family members with one of the largest Memorial Day parades in the country. So you can go and check out the parade if that's something you would like to do. You can also go see Tony and Tina's wedding. That if you go to TonyLovesTina.com, you can see that. I've only got a few more performances left because I am taking a hiatus for July and August. That is, So if you want to see me in the production, you got to move fast because then I'm gone for a little while.
All right, but you'll be back.
I'll be back in September, but if you want to see me now and avoid the rush, this is the time to
avoid the rush.
Avoid the rush. People just clamoring. Oh, we must see Brian in this production. All right. Well, listen, we've got to wrap that up. That's around town. So there's a lot of things happening. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Let's do this, and then we'll come back, and Steve Grzanich will be in with the opening bell on WGN.